Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
Well, it's an honor to be here, and when I get to one of my points, we'll dive a little bit into hearing God's voice. Because I feel like I heard from the Lord for a few things here. For the past two nights, we really hit hard on why God speaks. I spoke Friday night on what's the point, right? What's the purpose behind why God speaks? How many of you know beauty's beauty, right? But beauty's not just to be beautiful. Beauty serves a purpose and has a purpose. So the voice of the Lord is beautiful. It was cherished by David and should be cherished by us, right? Jesus said, I only do what I see of my Father, and I only speak what I hear of my Father, right? Whenever John needed a boost in his faith, John the Baptist, and he's in prison, he sends two of his disciples, John the Baptist's disciples, to see if it's Jesus who is the Messiah, the promised one, or do they look for another? They spend the day with Jesus. Jesus sends them back, and he says, you go and tell John what you've both heard and seen. So God actually has given us the right and the privilege to hear his voice. Do you know you actually heard him when you were still a sinner? And it's that voice, that conviction of the Holy Spirit that led you to Jesus and the saving grace, amen, of Jesus, that provoking in your heart, if you will, that impression in your heart that I need to go after this man, I need to devote my life, I need to give my life to Jesus, was actually you hearing the voice of the Lord without you even realizing it. Isn't that amazing? And today we're going to talk about covenant briefly, and because how many of you know that whenever you became born again, you entered into a covenant with the Lord, and whenever you came into a covenant with the Lord, you weren't just connected to him, you were actually made one with him, and that is something hard to comprehend and to understand. But just because you can't understand it doesn't mean you shouldn't believe that that's what happened. You entered into a covenant with him. You entered into union with him. And in that union, you've actually been connected to things like his voice. And we'll go into that more, his voice, in my first point of this message. But can I build to my points? Is that okay? I already started my timer. I'm going to watch my time, despite what Caleb has said, okay? So don't grab your purses. Don't grab your kids and leave. We're not going to be here till 7 p.m. I rebuke Caleb in the mighty name of Jesus. Jesus was able to look at Peter and say, get behind me, Satan. Get behind me, Satan. Not just lying. He's not Satan. I'm joking. Don't get too uptight, guys. Don't be mad at me, okay? So today, if I was to title this teaching, which I have, and I want you to write this in your notepads or in your phones if you're taking notes, the title or the topic of this message or this talk is Covenant Connections. Somebody say covenant, and now say connections. So if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to the book of 1 Samuel. Turn with me to the book of 1 Samuel. I'm going to try to expedite this as fast as I can and not sound like an auctioneer at an auction house, but forgive me if I talk fast and hard and hot and heavy and fast, because I want you guys to capture something this morning, as I know you capture something every Sunday morning, because this church is awesome. But I don't want this Sunday to be any different, okay? So I want to make sure that I hit what I believe I need to speak on this morning. And we'll tie in hearing the voice of the Lord in just a minute, okay? Let me build to my first point, okay? So 1 Samuel chapter 18, 1 Samuel chapter 18. And As you're turning there, I'll say this as well. I had every intentions to just really hit this message on covenant connections really hard, but then whenever Hannah was really breaking up that this is going to conclude about hearing the voice of the Lord, I'm really going to hit the voice of the Lord in ways quickly. My first point on how to hear the word of the Lord, how to hear the voice of the Lord, to honor the house, but to honor your appetite, because it was the number one thing that you guys wanted to learn and grow in was how to hear the voice of the Lord. So I want to honor your appetite this morning a little bit, okay? So I'm making a pivot. But 1 Samuel chapter 18, and I just want us to look at verses 3 through 5, and it says this: Then Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as his own soul. Isn't that crazy? And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was on him and gave it to David in his armor, and even his sword and his bow and his belt. And David went out and was successful wherever Saul sent him. So that Saul sent him over, or set him over the men of war. And this was good in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. Let me just highlight verse 3 again. Then Jonathan made a covenant with David. With David. Again, the title of this teaching is Covenant Connections. Let us just pray briefly. Jesus, bless the reading of your word. Open up our ears and open up our hearts, Father, to receive from you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Super fast. How many married folk do we have in this house this morning? Y'all, look at those hands. Good for you. Yeah, good for you. That's amazing. So me and my wife got married over 11 years ago. And we actually got to honeymoon in Colorado, which was beautiful. I absolutely love Colorado, and I want to go back. One of the things was I had a situation where I was actually able to save money, and I wasn't always good at it, but I saved a lot of money before I married my wife, right? Or I was able to save some money. But how many of you know when you're planning for a wedding, can I get an amen here already? When you're planning for a wedding, right, and you even say to your wife, I'll be as involved as you want me to be, or I will not be involved as if you don't want me to be. If you just want me to write a check, I'll write a check. You know what I'm saying? You just need to tell me what you want me to do, because I don't want to be too involved, and I don't want to be not involved. So I offered, like bait, like prey to her and her mom, my checkbook. And can I tell you something? We started having the right checks for venues, and family helped, and other people blessed us and poured into us and covered food costs and stuff like that. But there was still an expense that I had to pay, and whatever I had saved up started to dwindle. But what was absolutely amazing, and the realization that I came to when I'm sitting in the bank and joining our accounts, is that whatever is hers isn't hers only, it's mine, despite what women say. You know how women say what is mine, and whatever is mine, right? No, that wasn't the case. Her name is on the bank account, my name is on the bank account, and we had joint accounts, you know what I mean? So I was in Colorado, and I think thinking, or maybe I checked my bank balance, and I'm like, man, it really dwindled. But then whenever I went to the bank and I joined my account with hers, come on, somebody, I connected to a resource that wasn't depleted, and it took my depleted account and increased it. Isn't that amazing? Just because of covenant. Isn't it crazy that Jonathan and David cut a covenant? And it connects David not only to a garment, but to resources, to favor, and to a function just because of that covenant union. I'm building something here. Okay? I'm going to build something just super fast. I had some notes on in Jesus's day, in biblical times, what the male was actually responsible for, right? One of the things he was responsible for was to be committed to an actual covenantal contract, you know what I mean, where the beneficiary was the wife. How many of you know, no matter how weird this sounds, Jesus is our husband. He's our groom. And why I say, no matter how weird that sounds for a dude, that can seem weird, but it's such a covenant, intimate relationship, right? With no strings attached of perversion. It's a beautiful union. It's a beautiful thing. And whenever you came into covenant with Jesus, you got connected to him in his account. Where, watch this, his resource took over where you were impoverished and where you were depleted, and he increased your account by joining his account with yours through covenant. Amen? I was having this thought in my heart last night about covenant connection, and then this morning I saw on a specific news a Facebook page, and I won't mention the news just because some people may disagree with this news platform, but this news platform made mention of a guy named Daryl Strawberry. Watch this. I'm building some. MLB legend Daryl Strawberry says, this was the post, says, baseball's success never filled the empty void he felt until he turned to Jesus Christ. Strawberry credits his mother's prayers, come on somebody, and his wife's encouragement with leading him back to faith, saying Christ is the only one that could fill that empty void. Whenever he was drafted in from the MLB, okay, how many of you know that he made a living off of a contract? In that contract, come on somebody, that and how he performed in that contract connected him to benefits. It connected him to favor. It connected him to popularity. And in that popularity, how many of you know, he probably gained access in that fame that a regular man or woman would not gain or have access to. But he was saying that no matter the successful career that he had in an MLB, he still seemed depleted and felt depleted, come on somebody, until he cut covenant with Jesus Christ and was connected to all the benefits of heaven. Here's a quote from him that's on this post. There's a great purpose for all our lives. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the way. And what's super amazing, and I think Brian will like this, he said, ultimate, watch this, I found this in my search this morning. Ultimately, his message is that baseball was just a platform, but his true purpose is helping people find freedom and a second chance at life. He was only connected to that ultimate message because of his covenant with the Lord. And out of that relationship, the Lord connected his heart and his mind to that message. Why does God speak? To connect your heart and mind to the ultimate message, and that is Jesus Christ. And his righteousness. Amen. Daryl Strawberry, watch this, his conversion when he got saved was in 1991, but I read this. However, his conversion story is unique because he often describes it as a two-part journey, initial salvation versus true discipleship and transformation. He made a covenant, but he had to be connected to discipleship for transformation. So in 1991, he had the initial commitment, right? But in 1991, Strawberry had just left the New York Mets and signed a massive $2 million free agent contract with the Los Angeles Dodgers. Despite the fame and money, his personal life was in a downward spiral. His first marriage was falling apart, and he was struggling heavily with alcoholism. And this is what it says about his life, womanizing. So there was this downward spiral, but watch this. His ultimate turning point and permanent transformation didn't happen until 2006 after serving an 18-month
prison sentence, his sister and his future wife, Tracy, helped guide him into deep Bible study and true Christian discipleship. Today, Strawberry is an ordained minister and traveling evangelist, frequently telling crowds, "I was saved in 1991, but I didn't become a man until I truly met Jesus and took the uniform off." David did not become the in charge of the war of war for Saul. Come on, somebody. Until he took off the garment that David wore and put on, come on, somebody, a garment that Jonathan wore that showed him what part of a family he was a part of and that he was actually in line to be king. He wasn't connected to the right role until he made the right covenant. And it's the same thing with Strawberry, and it's the same thing with our lives. We'll always fall short of the purpose of why we're here. We'll always fall short until we find Jesus and cut covenant. You guys okay? Okay. Super fast. So we find here in 1 Samuel chapter 18, verses 3 through 5, this covenant that was made and what Jonathan did for David and through that covenant, what David ultimately got connected to. There is several covenants in the Bible, but the most popular one was the blood covenant. In the ancient biblical world, a contract was something you signed with ink, but a covenant was something you sealed with life. Because the Bible states that the life of the flesh is in the blood, Leviticus 17:11, a blood covenant was the most binding, unbreakable agreement two parties could make. It literally bound two lives together as family. Do you know you stepped into a covenant with Jesus like that to become family? Super fast. In Hebrew, you don't make a covenant. The phrase is always karat barat, which literally means to cut a covenant. Without the shedding of blood, a covenant did not exist. Come on. Do you know Hebrews talks about a contract? It talks about a will, and that you don't reap the will's benefits until there's a life that dies. What does the Bible say? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That means we actually have access to a will because of the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. A true covenant wasn't made until there was life that was given. And so Jesus died as the ultimate sacrifice, shed his blood, poured his blood out on the mercy seat in heaven to cover our sin once and for all and to forgive us so that we could be in relationship, covenantal relationship with him, being connected to God's will, that in our prayers we can actually release his will on earth. A blood covenant establishes one blood family relation. In the ancient world, you had obligations to protect your biological family because you shared the same bloodline. If you wanted to form that same unbreakable loyal bond with someone outside your family, you had to find a way to share blood. I know this sounds gruesome, but this is just biblical covenant stuff. Okay? Since they couldn't do medical blood transfusions, they shed the blood of a sacrificial animal to bridge the gap. When Moses sprinkled half the blood of God's altar on God's altar and half on the people in Exodus 24, when two men mingled the blood of their own cut wrist, it was a physical proclamation. We are no longer strangers. We now share one blood. We are family. Isn't that awesome? I mean, I wouldn't say go do that with each other. I'm just trying to share about the ultimate blood covenant here, and that's with Jesus Christ, okay? Please don't go and do that. So God, Jesus made covenant with us. Jeremiah 30, verse 22, so you will be my people, and I will be your God. Ezekiel 37, 26, I will make a covenant of peace with them. And it will be an everlasting covenant. I will put my sanctuary among them forever. Your Bible's awesome. Do you hear what you're hearing from God, just me reading these scriptures? Here it is, really quick. Luke 22, verse 20 says this: in the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This is the cup in the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." Do you know the beauty of communion? Why there's beauty in us taking communion corporately and personally, you know, the bread and the body, you know, the bread representing the body, the juice, I'll say, wine, whatever, representing the blood of Jesus. One of the beauties of that, the taking communion, is you're reflecting on the covenant that was made on Jesus' part for us. Jesus is the abundance of heaven, and he's earth's beautiful overflow of abundant life. Can I tell you something? Humanity did a lot against God and needed a lot. God gave more than that through Jesus Christ. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." We should never move from this steeple message, Jesus Christ and him crucified, because in it reveals to us the covenant that was made because of that. And the more we preach about Jesus and the more we hear and receive from the Holy Spirit, because Jesus is Holy Spirit's only message, he's revealing to us Christ so that we can stand in wonder and reverence and honor him, but also realize that we find ourselves in him if we've given our lives to him. If I have a covenant with him, I'm connected to his function. If I'm in covenant with him, just like Saul put David over war, can I tell you something? I'm above spiritual warfare. I'm that good. I'm better than spiritual warfare. I'm better than the opposition the enemy throws at me. I am significant and I am superior above that spiritual warfare and conflict that the enemy is throwing at me, because I am God's, because I got covenant. Oh, I want to preach hard right now, but I got to try to be a teacher. Jesus, where am I at? Okay, real quick. Jesus is the abundance of heaven given to us. Can I tell you something? When you take communion, you're reflecting on what it took for us to have covenant. And one of the things that we find in the beauty of communion, outside of the simple fact that it causes us to reflect on what it took so we can have covenant, so that we can have connection, one of the things that happens, though, when we also take communion, one of the beauties that takes place when we take communion, outside of reflecting what it took to have covenant with him, here it is. When we take communion, it's a tangible thing that involves our mind in what's important. Nothing else is important than Christ. And when we take communion, we're reflecting on him and his sacrifice. Paul would say that I would preach nothing but Christ and him crucified. And can I tell you something? When we take communion, it's a tangible thing that involves our mind and what's important. And it's Jesus and what he did for us. You guys okay? So when I say covenant, the covenant he made to us opened the door for open hearts to receive covenant. And here's what covenant is. I wrote some things down, just my own thoughts here. Covenant is this joining of two who refuse to just be acquaintances. I didn't want to just be my wife's acquaintance. I put a ring on it. And I say that with the utmost respect for marriage and things like that. It's the sacred union through a holy pledge of commitment, joining of goods that will be committed to one common point that will fully honor each other in this relationship. It's a union that creates a transfer of wealth and infusion of a brand new life that was not reached in singleness. Covenant is when two lives make up one new life through promises made, promises committed to, that not only link you, but it causes you to have union in something that is far greater than just being acquaintances. Here's a big idea you might want to write down. Covenant with Jesus is the paramount link that connects you to his righteousness and kingdom. Let me say that again. A covenant with Jesus is the paramount link that connects you to his righteousness and kingdom. Jesus paid the price. Body was cut. God's body was broken. So blood, life could be offered to make this covenant. But can I tell you something? We also enter into this covenant by several ways, confessing him as Lord. But here's another thing, Joel 2, 12 through 13. Now therefore says the Lord, turn to me and with all your heart, fasting with weeping and with mourning. So rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and he relents from doing harm. Rend your heart here means, like, he's using a powerful wordplay here in this thing considered of rending your heart. And what it literally means is to rip open violently, to tear, to shred, to shreds, to pluck out or to utterly destroy. How many of you know the heart, come on somebody, is deceitful apart from Christ? So whenever we cut covenant with God, we don't have to shed blood, but we do need to rend our hearts. It's the same word for rend here. I won't try to pronounce the word, but this word for rend in Hebrew, it is the same word used when a wild lion tears its prey apart. It is used when God rips the kingdom of Israel away from King Saul, to rend your heart. Real quick, as I wrap this up, Psalms 51, 17, it says this. David is saying in this in Psalms 51, 17, the sacrifice of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. Broken here, this is a violent physical verb. It means to smash a clay pot into useless shards, to fracture a bone, or to shatter a wooden mast. It doesn't mean dented or cracked. It means completely broken into pieces so that it can no longer function in its original state. When he says God's looking for a broken spirit or a broken heart. Contrite spirit here. When the Bible speaks of a contrite spirit, it is describing a beautiful paradox. In the ancient Near East, a proud person was called stiff-necked. They held their head high, refused to bow, and trusted in their own goodness. A person with a contrite spirit has had that rigid, stiff-necked pride totally crushed into powder. They came before God with a clean slate, essentially saying, I am nothing but dust. I have no power to fix my life, no righteousness of my own to brag about, and no strength left to fight you. I am completely broken for you to reshape me. I will not repeat it. Listen to the podcast. So here's a why. Here's a tension. You ready for this? Now, I'm not educated enough to put that together. That's just seeing what contrite spirit means, okay, what I just read. But why, or the tension here is this: without covenant with Jesus, one never truly makes a connection to purpose. Let me say that again. Without covenant with Jesus, one never truly makes a connection to purpose. John 1, 1 through 5 says this: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made. That was made in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Your purpose is not to be taken out by darkness.
Your purpose is to have the life of Christ in you, where it shines like a light, where darkness flees and bows to that light and can't lay a hold of you and take you out. That's what you're connected to through covenant. And I'll say this again, without covenant with Jesus, one never truly makes a connection to purpose. Here's an action step thing. Discover and enjoy your covenant connections. That sounds easier said than done. I'll equip you here in a minute. But discover, I'll help you by discovering a few. But discover and enjoy your connections. Psalms 103, verse 2, as I start to land this plane, it says this: bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. So I'll say again, discover and enjoy your covenant connections. I wrote this down for enjoy, two things about enjoy. Enjoy means to find joy and be involved in joy that comes from benefiting from the benefits of something. Enjoy means, it means to participate in all the wonders of a created thing. Let me give you super fast, so don't freak out when you hear the number. Let me give you four. I think you can handle four. Let me give you four covenant connections to be enjoyed. And we're not limited to this. I charge you to dive into the word and pray that the Lord reveals to you all the more that's available. I only have a certain amount of time, okay? Let me just quickly give you four things. Number one, here's a connection made. Your joint heirs. Your joint heirs. Watch this. Galatians 4, verse 7. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Revelations 21, verse 7. You ready for this? I'm just giving you scriptures. Let's let the word speak for itself real quick. You can't leave here saying, I didn't give you Bible today. Revelations 21, 7. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God. This is the heritage. I will be his God, and he will be my son. My wife sent me a video of my daughter. She had VBS all last week, and my wife sent me some videos of my daughter in the front, because they brought all the kids from VBS up front and they started singing the songs they sang during VBS. And so there's these videos of my daughter up there doing her little thing. She looks at the camera and she waves, and then you get the text from the wife that says, I wish you were here to see it. You know what I mean? To be in person, she would have loved it. And I was a little emotional in the truck. And can I tell you something? I can look at that video and be like overjoyed. And I don't mean this in a possessive way, but like, that's mine. Because of my covenant with my wife, that's one of my connections. That's my heritage. Can I tell you something? Like, the Lord wants you to not forget all of his benefits. He wants you to know them and enjoy them. What are you connected to as a joint heir with Christ? One of these connections is his voice, for his purpose, or for this purpose. One of these connections is his voice for this purpose, to shape us, to give us wisdom, and to shape us by wisdom. Do you know whenever, like up on top of the list in the Old Testament, like with words like command and instructions and statutes, on the top of that list of words that were used to shape God's people, on the top of that list was wisdom. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, and then 5 through 7, I won't get into all of it, but he says this in verse 1, listen to the statutes and the rules. He later on follows it up with, because this is wisdom and your discernment. Why does God speak? To reveal his identity and to reveal yours. Jesus speaks to reveal a mirror where you don't see your reflection, but when you look into the mirror, you see his reflection. He speaks to reveal to you what he wants you to mirror, but when he looks in the mirror, this is what he speaks, his reflection in that mirror.
And it's supposed to be received as wisdom and honored and obeyed so that it can shape and mold you into wisdom. And wisdom is attached to life. And can I tell you something? God wants us to have that wisdom. That's why he speaks. I shared this on Friday night, but I've got to share this super fast with you today. Whenever he said, listen and obey, like the rules here, actions you create to create a situation of righteousness. It's not, hey, follow this rule because I'm God and you're a peasant. Follow my rules. I'm going to boss you around. That's not why God speaks, and that's not why God gives us rules. Those rules are actually wisdom. And God says, I'm giving you these rules so that you can take action. Watch this. Under those rules, watch this. Actions you undertake with a public consequence or actions you undertake for public good. It's to bend a certain situation in the community towards righteousness or right relationship between people. You're connected to God's voice, not just to know his rules so he can dominate over your life, but to actually operate and function in that life, that wisdom, so that you can bend things towards righteousness for yourself and your family. When God gives you commands in his word and you hear what he has to say in his word, hey, you're connected to this benefit, but you're also connected to this role, but I'll give you grace to function in that role. Guess what? He's not again saying you're a peasant, follow me. No, he's saying you're a son, do as I have done to bend things towards righteousness and redemption. One of the ways God speaks to you to reveal this is through your imagination. We have an imagination that's creative by itself, but when God gets a hold of it, he can throw images in that imagination, pictures, and words that we don't want to go off in left field. We need the guardianship of God's word and the conviction of the Holy Spirit. But through that imagination, he can give you a picture. Write it down and start praying about it. Come on, somebody. And ask the Lord to take that picture and produce a word that leads to righteousness and redemption and life and the character, true character of God, so that you and others can be bent towards that righteousness if you put your faith in what he's speaking to the imagination. Another way God speaks is through thoughts. Come on, somebody. Not all thoughts are yours. Not all thoughts are God's. But there is thoughts that might start bumping into your head that you start firing off, come on, to bend things towards righteousness. If a thought comes, take it captive and lead it to righteousness. Lead it to Christ. But if there's a thought that you believe is from God, pray about it, get scriptures, and start speaking truth that has a slant or a bent of life and redemption. Because that's what you're connected to. You're connected to his voice. Super fast, okay? That's point number one. Number two, you're connected to his benefits. It's a benefit to hear God, but it's also a benefit, man. There's all kinds of benefits. Watch this in Psalms 103, 3 through 5. As I land the plane, don't worry, I'm already in 2. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with all loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Before this verse, David's like, that I might not forget all your benefits, and he starts to list the benefits. Isn't that awesome? One of the benefits is hearing God's voice. One of the benefits is actually this. One of the benefits is you're connected to healing. Another connection that you are connected to life, and that life redeems you from destruction. You're crowned with loving kindness and tender mercies. It's one who satisfies your mouth with good things. That's why he speaks to you, is to satisfy your mouth with good things. Do you ever hear, if you don't have anything good to say, don't say it at all? Why do you think God speaks in thoughts? Why do you think God speaks in impressions that you need to pray through? Why do you think God speaks in the imaginary realm? And it takes you to pray to get the righteous slant to it. To build someone up and to edify them. It's because God wants to give you good things to say so that you actually speak for him. Are you guys okay? Number three, you are connected to Christ's righteousness. It's through Christ so that we may not be able to boast in anything. So we can't boast, but we push out a praise through our overwhelming wonder that it is through Christ that we're made righteous. Righteousness is to stand before God as Jesus does. It's to stand in a perfect union, unbreakable with the Father. Do you know when you became born again, He reconciled you to that fullness? That's something to rejoice about and enjoy. Number four, He's connected you to a completed faith. Hebrews 12, 1 through 12, 1 through 2, sorry, says this: therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, covenant, so we could be connected to this completed faith. Are you guys good? What's completed faith? Faith, it's not just having faith and trust and belief. It's the gospel. It's righteousness. It's things that we're talking about today. Jesus is the author and the finisher of, through Himself, of our faith. But the more we focus on the One who already authored and completed our faith, guess what? He starts to increase our faith. So that we can actually rise up and take what the Lord has given us and share it by faith or walk it out by faith. And it's through covenant that you're connected to a completed faith. Not an incomplete faith, but a full 100% completed faith. So I want you to stand with me all over the place. I just spouted out 39-ish minutes of stuff. But now let me give you real quick an action plan for this week. Let me give you an action plan for this week. If you're looking for more instruction when hearing God's voice, listen to the podcast. And come out next time when there's a workshop, okay? But for me, like, there is times where, like, man, how many of you know it's like, Lord, like last night, I was just simply, I did not know what God wanted me to share. And all of a sudden, I started weeding through even, like, my own journey, like, this past week about covenant and that we have a covenant with God. And the Lord spoke to my heart, covenant connection. And we started honing this in and honing it out of stone, so to speak, this morning. Some last night, but mainly this morning. So what was that? It was like this thought and this impression that came, erected from the soil of what He was already breaking up and plowing in my heart this week before I got here. My mind and my attention was on covenant. And I tell you something, you need to give Holy Spirit something to work with, and you do that through, when I say intimacy, I mean prayer time with Jesus. And God will start giving you impressions, thoughts, in your imagination realm, things that you get to explore through faith. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer. Write it down in your journal, and don't write any more until you feel like He's speaking more. This is what I'm going to ask you to do. This is what I'm going to ask you to do. A little action plan. Not your pastor. She's your pastor. She can say, don't do this. And she has every right to say it. Not that you would, but I'm just saying. But here's an action plan for this week. An action plan for this week is I want you to write one thing down. One thing down that has a question mark in it. Like, man, I'm clueless in this. I don't know what to do here. And I just want you to simply pray, Holy Spirit, reveal Jesus to me in this area. Because I'm going to act on what I was taught on Sunday, and that was I have a covenant. And that means I'm connected to things. I'm connected to wisdom. I'm connected to Your voice. Take this question, Lord, and give me wisdom that I will occupy in faith. And Father, I thank You, Lord, that You're going to reveal it to me so that we can bend this together towards righteousness. Not that you're sinning. It's just, Lord, I want to bend this thing, this question that I have towards, I want the answer to be righteousness, and I want it to be bent towards righteousness. and just write it down. And if you walk away then after you pray, so be it. But then I want you to start thinking, man, Lord, is that that thing in my imagination something I should write down? Don't even question it. Just write it down. It could just be you daydreaming, or it could be God speaking. You start getting thoughts and impressions, write it down on that page. And then later on, pray over it and see how the Lord can connect it. But then also, I would encourage you to share it with a faith-filled friend, and that you can pray together and you can discover together what you can do about it. Amen? So, Father, I pray right now that you bless this amazing group. But, Jesus, I thank you that you've blessed us with the realization that we have covenant with you. And because of that covenant, we have connection. And, Lord, we bless that in the name of Jesus. I'm going to ask this super fast. If you're here today and you're like, you're talking about connection and covenant with God and relationship with God and Jesus, can I tell you something? There's a Jesus who was madly in love with you and didn't want to be separated from you. So he died on the cross to bring union. But he didn't stay in the grave. He rose on the third day to be a symbol, to be a declaration that we can defeat sin and death in him. And that we can have, watch this. The Bible says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The Bible says, the wages of sin is death. When you become born again, the life of Christ comes in you. And you die to sin. I know this sounds weird, but you die to sin and you come back up into new life through the resurrection life of Jesus. And if you were a sinner and you were in death, but now you've made the decision to receive life, which is Jesus, guess what ends up happening? You get reconciled to life, and the glory you felt short of, you now step into. Covenant connection. And I would be amiss if I would talk about covenant connection and puff up the Christian, but not see if there's conviction in someone that doesn't know Jesus. I'm not preaching anymore. I'm witnessing right now. So if you're here, I want us to bow our heads super fast. I don't want to make it awkward for someone that wants to pray and give their lives to Jesus. I want you to feel ashamed or weird or embarrassed. If you feel like you've wandered away from the Lord, or you feel like you've never said yes to Jesus in your entire life, and you're like, you know what? I don't know what this all means. I'll figure it out with discipleship at this church, but I do want to commit my life to Jesus. And I want to start out by saying yes to Jesus, and I need to take out sin by confessing Jesus as Lord. I need to take out separation from glory, separation from life, separation from the one who created me. I need to remove, take out that separation through a confession that Jesus is Lord. If that's you, really quick, if you need to give your life to Jesus, I just want you to raise your hand right now. If you feel like you need to confess Jesus as Lord. If we're all good, great. But I would be amiss if I would talk about covenant connections and about covenant and not ask if there's someone that needs to make covenant. Anyone in the room, I'm not going to belabor the point. Just raise your hand if you need Jesus. If you want to come back to Jesus, you want to say yes to Jesus and enter into a relationship. We good? Good. So Jesus, thank you. Father, we're not going to forget all your benefits. This is what I want us to do super fast as we close. I want you to grab the hand of the person beside you, or just put your hand on their shoulder, put your hand on their back. Ask permission, you know, if you need to. Maybe you're sitting with your family and you don't have to. Father, I just pray right now that we don't want to forget your healing power. So, Father, I just pray, Lord, for healing right now. I pray for strength to reap over this house. I pray for peace to reap over this house.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.